It's Mike Schoep and the Bulldog.
Blitz coming. Fires over the middle for Amari Super Cooper for a 12-yard touchdown reception.
It's Mike Schoep.
Looks underneath, complete to Ty Johnson for a 4-yard touchdown reception.
And the Bulldog.
Cuts it inside, spins out of a tackle. Down to the 10, to the 5, has Hollins in front of him, and into the end zone. Ray, the pile driver, Davis.
That first half, just being in those 3rd and 6s, 3rd and 7s, you kind of go through your third down call sheet real quickly, and you don't like to be in those situations. It took us a while to get a first down. To come out the way we did in that second half, our team played really well.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Football Monday on a Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank for what's next.
We can do that on a Monday?
I actually did sort of hesitate. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Just not sure anymore about anything. So, yeah, it's Monday. It is. Two games tonight, though. That's confusing. It feels like a Saturday. If there are two games, it should be like Saturday in December, but it's actually Monday in October. All right, so yesterday at the beginning of the post-game show, I was trying to think of like what the right word is for that game yesterday, Bills-Titans. Like, what's the word? The Bills blank the Titans. Like, what do they actually do to the Titans? They kill them? What was it actually? So I thought I would make a list of words today, just run them by you, and you just pick your favorite.
Okay. Is Maul on the list?
No.
I mean,
let's just put Maul.
That's what just came to mind right now as we were starting.
That was a mauling?
Maul. Kind of. I mean, they smoked him in the second half.
For an hour and a half, though, for half the game, I thought, like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I don't think Maul.
In the end,
Maul probably doesn't work.
It's how you finish. Well, that's what's challenging here.
Right.
So
right.
Let's just start with Maul. I'll give you a list of words. You tell me if you like these words more or less than Maul.
Okay.
Whoop.
I think I like that a little more than Maul.
Whoop takes the lead.
Whoop, whoop, whoop is in the pole position.
Is that W-H-O-O-P?
Whoop? That's how I would spell whoop.
Like whooping, cough.
Whoop. That's whoop.
That's whoop. That's the same, though.
I think whoop. Whoop is with a U, I think.
W-H-U-P-P?
Whoop.
All right. Well, let's see if it wins. Dismember.
No.
That wasn't a dismembering?
No.
When they played Tennessee on that Monday night with Diggs, that was a dismembering.
That was more closer to a dismembering.
I prefer those games where you never have to spend like more than an hour being like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're Tennessee.
Sure.
Which maybe they were that way yesterday for the first half. Like, what is going on here?
So glad I'm not Tennessee.
How are we winning? All right. So Whoop remains the leader.
Yes.
All right. Top.
Not enough.
Not strong enough.
Yeah.
Top is any game.
Top 30 to 27.
Any game.
Yeah. Top. No.
Okay. Outclass.
I mean, that probably works.
That's my favorite so far.
Yeah.
Outclass. Because that's really where you ended up.
Yes. And an outclassing can eventually lead to a whooping.
Mm-hmm. So true.
But the first step is that you have outclassed them. And I think that, you know, sometimes that takes time in a game where, you know, teams aren't maybe that familiar with one another and sort of, you know, I don't know, the better team isn't asserting itself yet, but eventually you outclass them and whoop them. I think that's better than whoop.
I do too. You know what was a whooping was the last time the Bills won in Seattle? 2004.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah. I think that's the last time they won there.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the last time they won there, but I remember that game now.
That was a whooping.
Yes.
That was like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That was not yesterday.
No.
Crush?
No.
You like outclass more than crush?
Yes.
I do. Avunculate?
What does that mean exactly?
So this is a word I thought I was making up. But I wanted to check, like, does that actually mean something?
Uh-huh.
And it does. It is a real word that means something about a man having a close relationship with his sister's son. So that's definitely not the word for this game. But that is a real word, avunculate.
Yeah, I don't think that fits.
That's not it. No, aren't you impressed that I looked that up, though?
I don't.
And not just be like, oh, that sounds like what they did. Doesn't it sound like the Bills? It's the kind of word where maybe that would sound right. The Bills avunculated the Titans.
The only consideration I would give it, I mean, now that I know the actual meaning of the word, which makes it a preposterous suggestion in this context, is that it sounds like eventually at the beginning. So and the Bills eventually
avunculate. Very good. Very good.
Doesn't work.
It seems like maybe it could mean ripping your heart out.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like blood spurting out and everything.
But it means a man having a relationship, some sort of close ties with his sister's son. Very specific word.
Yeah.
Kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
Avunculate.
Yeah.
All right, so outclassed to the leader?
Yeah.
Beat. How about beat? No, too boring.
It's
any game.
You're going to go with beat, and I'm going to go with top.
Almost done here. Nip?
No,
I just wanted to say nip.
It was not a nip.
I just wanted to say nip.
Nothing, there was no nipping going on.
That was
on.
Not a nip.
No.
No, nip almost has to be 1 point. Exactly one.
Yeah, nip. Yeah,
the smallest possible margin.
Yeah, that was more nip. This ended up more like a shark bite, which, you know.
Which sounds more like avunculate, but.
Yeah, I what happened to him? Actually, he got bitten by a shark, and he was avunculated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That seems very, very reasonable.
Yeah.
Edge, destroy, outwit. That's my whole list. I can erase this.
Yeah, no.
Now?
What did we
outclass
say? Outclass. Yeah, I like outclass.
A little bit formal, but all right.
Yeah,
that's what they did.
That is what they did. They were better than them once they got a handle on what exactly Tennessee was doing to them. I think they shut it down. And, I mean, the game was the Bills' game. From as soon as they came out in the second half, got that stop, they just took the game over. But Tennessee had 70-some yards in the second half of the game.
I don't even know.
It's a brutal showing. I mean, they had a decent half. I mean, they were ahead. So, you know, hat tip. But, yeah, I like outclassed.
There it is, then. That'll be the official word. 5-2 at Seattle this week. I mean, it's still pretty much fine, right? I said yesterday, I mean, it was kind of a weird postgame show. People were talking about Tennessee going on fourth down, and I don't know why anybody would care about that, really. But, you know, feelings, I guess. I mean, it's a pivotal play, but were the Bills not going to win the game? So, I mean, we have the benefit of knowing how it went, which everybody else uses, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just kind of strange. Like, it wasn't exactly... What a relief, you know, yesterday? Or was it? I said there were only two possible outcomes here for this game. One, it was fine, which is what happened. Two, it would be a disaster. There's really nothing the Bills were going to do yesterday to be like, oh.
And disaster was in the window until about
it was.
2:45 or 3 o'clock or so. I guess I'd have to admit, even though they did really just coast to a win in the end, it was pretty dense.
But if they win this game 13-10, Tennessee can't move the ball in the second half. The Bills struggle too. Timing's off. Allen's missing. Everybody's complaining about one thing or another with the offense.
We're talking about trading for another receiver still, maybe.
It sounds like a loss today if that happened.
Yeah, but you got far from that. So I think here's another word that I think fits. Encouraging? You know, are we allowed to be encouraged by what we saw from the passing game specifically in the second half of this game? I mean, they went off in the second half of this game. And I think maybe even... this is so insulting to Tennessee. We're practicing their passing game late in the game. Like, they, you know, they're still throwing up 17. I think somebody on that odd postgame show you referred to, like, was bothered by that they weren't just, you know, they didn't learn from Houston, you know, run out the clock. Like, they're up by 17. Are you worried? So, you know, it was a little bit, I used to say this about the Patriots when they'd come in here to play the Bills sometimes, like, yeah, we're not really going to give you our best stuff, but we're just going to work on some things, you know. And I think the Bills maybe did a little of that late in the game with their passing game. I'd say maybe like the last two possessions when they didn't really need to be throwing. You know, it might have been, you know, fine to just grind it out, but they got some stuff right there, and Tennessee was down some corners, and that shouldn't be ignored in this. You know, the great defense that they had been given credit for coming into the game was compromised by that, but the Bills got it together, And so I'm encouraged by what the passing game looked like in this game. I hope that they can, you know, start a game like that again soon. I mean, it's not that they haven't. Jacksonville was like that. I mean, they just started throwing and just never stopped until they were so far in front that they just, you know, eventually said, okay, we're fine.
That's the exception this year, though.
Yeah, that's right. So, but I liked a lot that they found their way to, you know, Allen had his 300-yard game for the first time all year, and really it was on the strength of a second half. Like they didn't do much at all in the start of this game. So Coleman's got the best yards receiving in the league for the week so far. There's two more games tonight, so we'll see about that, whether that, you know, that holds with Baltimore and Tampa and the Chargers and the Cardinals playing tonight. And Allen has the most yards passing in the league this week. Again, save for these two games that are coming up tonight. So that's not so bad. So I'm encouraged by that because it's the first time out of the wrapper with Amari Cooper in the lineup, and he didn't play a lot. I would expect that to change maybe as soon as this coming week in Seattle, as he's, what's the phrasing they're using, onboarded fully.
There's a word.
Just gets you know, fully familiar, and they are able to maybe do more things with him. I liked a lot what they looked like as this game finished. So, more than just outclassed, like, I'm encouraged because the passing game has been a real concern, I think, for real reasons. And they addressed that with the trade last week. And first time out of the box, yeah, it took a while, but they got there. I mean, their best passing game of the year.
You know, I'm curious about the Ravens tonight. I guess the Chargers a little bit. I think, man, 7 games in already, and that's almost halfway through the season, and it's been mostly, well, yes or no, certainly in the last 3 weeks, like, it's been mostly what's wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, the Cooper trade kind of covered that up, and they won the Jet game, but it was still just like, this isn't looking like it's in rhythm, and I don't know. I don't know what I have here. The most encouraging thing to me about the Bills this year, before what I'm about to say, has been that you know with Allen what the ceiling is. Like, you know that there is a ceiling, you know, a high point that can match almost anybody. Maybe not even almost. And so the whole year it's always been get in, and then on those particular days, maybe it's 3, maybe it's 4, however you keep winning, that you sort of get there, you get your bounces, and you get one. That's kind of this year for me. But there's also, I think, I would say anyway, and this is debatable, going into tonight, that I think in terms of the it starts with the division, but I think in terms of the conference, I don't think I'm really that far behind anybody, you know? And you could use the whole league if you want, but The Chiefs, it's ironic because the Chiefs are 6-0, but they still just cannot really run away from anybody. I don't mean that to be critical. Like, that's at San Francisco. You win there by 10. You did a good job.
Right.
And they have injuries too.
But Mahomes did almost nothing in the passing
game. They look so beatable. It's a trap, probably. Yeah. This is last year's playoffs, quintessentially, as well. The Bills have beaten them 3 times in the last 3 years. Like, I just don't think... I would never say they can't beat the Chiefs. I would just never say that. I would push back against anybody mm-hmm. who wants to say that.
Me too.
And then what? Right? Like, Houston, I don't think is great. They lose yesterday. The Bills played them very close. Baltimore is probably the second best team, if not the best team, in the AFC. But I don't know. Like, every week is different. And we'll see what they can do at Tampa. They have been really lighting it up recently, but who knows? Like, Pittsburgh and what's happened to the Jets and the Dolphins, man, it is there. No matter how good you think, it really doesn't matter how good they've looked. You know, eye test stuff, it really doesn't matter.
They've got the right record.
They've got the record they need. They've got the lead, and they're healthy enough, you know, where I think it's like still their real team, as opposed to like a New Orleans or somebody that's just mm-hmm. kind of like mm-hmm. destroyed already. So, you know, if you think of it all as a horse race and the Bills are like the second or the third favorite in the horse race and you're almost halfway through it And I think you're fine. Like, you haven't been, you know, whatever horse racing terms you want. You're not walled off, or you're just not sort of blocked from getting there. I think it's so far so good.
Yeah, there's I don't have to stick with the horse racing metaphor, but like the Chiefs have gotten out fast, and they are the kind of team that could go wire to wire. It's not like, you know, they don't have to sag, but you know they haven't looked great, and that cuts both ways, because you can think that, you know, on one hand, they haven't looked great, so they're vulnerable. That's what led me to, you know, pick San Francisco yesterday. Like, they'll get theirs tomorrow or Sunday in San Francisco, and they didn't, even though they really didn't look good again. And so, you know, they're catchable, but on the other hand, you've already got two losses, and they're just out there 6-0. It's kind of annoying that that was should have been a tougher game. I'd say it was easy for them, but really, by the, I don't know, when that game gets to the fourth quarter, I felt like the Chiefs were just kind of cruising. And Mahomes didn't do, again, through the air. He made that great run and then just punched that in, literally punched it. I mean, just ruined a DB at the goal line there. Like, we all love when Allen does that sort of physical stuff, message sending and all that. Here's Mahomes. He's just like, dude, I'm looking at the bottom of your cleats standing there in the end zone. The dude's just legs up in the air. But they don't look, you know, uncatchable, but they've got the right record too. I mean, they've got the best record you can have, and that makes it tough, but I still feel like it's there, because they could lose the way they're playing. They could lose any game they play, the Chiefs. And I would say the same about the Bills. You know, like, I feel good about a 3-game lead or 3.5 game lead. Why wouldn't you? But
yeah,
I don't know.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, what's to stop you from, you know, stubbing your own toe? Sure. But, man, if I can just get KC to lose, that's why yesterday annoyed me so much with them in San Francisco, is, like, look, I'm not expecting the Bills to necessarily run the table until they see the Chiefs, but it's in the window. And I just need a Chief loss before they come here. And I've got a mid-season or a little after mid-season meeting that is as juicy as it gets.
Well, what do you think the odds are? Like, you say they can lose to anybody. They're going to Vegas next. Could they lose to Vegas? They did last year.
They could. The way they're playing right now on offense, they could lose. They could lose to anyone.
All right.
I don't know that I'm
enjoy your 10 points.
I don't know that I'm picking them, but
enjoy your plus 10.
That's what they've got.
Minshew.
Yeah.
Minshew's probably, you know, better for the Raiders in the present.
Yeah.
Then they host Tampa and Denver before they come here. Pretty good chance at 9-0.
Yeah.
I bet it's better than 50-50 that they're 9-0 coming into this game. Do you want that? Maybe? No.
No,
That's cool, though.
It is. Like, I won't be mad about it. It might be just annoying. Those don't have to be synonymous.
We are almost... Go ahead. Sorry, I couldn't wait to say it.
Go ahead.
We are almost to the point, and the Bills are at 5-2 in this conversation. It's not just wish casting that we're talking about, like, the standings in the playoffs. And so you said, like, it's 6-0, Buffalo 5-2. Here's Kansas City the rest of the way. Here's how big that game is with them, if you want to talk about, like,
yep,
top of the charts. Vegas, Bucks, Broncos. I mean, you wouldn't take 8-1 if you were Kansas City.
No.
You would try for 9-0.
No. I'm going to hope like hell for 8-1, but yeah, I wouldn't sign for it right now.
Then they come here and you have them on ties if you win. If you lose, and say the Bills are 8-2, they win all these games,
mm-hmm,
possible, not as likely as Kansas City doing it. Two road games. Seattle, yep, is a 3-point game.
Yep.
But say you get to 8-2, Kansas City 9-0, and you win. 9-1, 9-2, right? Kansas City from there goes to Carolina, Vegas again,
mm-hmm,
Chargers at home,
mm-hmm,
at Cleveland.
Mm, God.
Like, they win here. We're talking about undefeated.
Yeah.
Then it's Houston, at Pittsburgh, at Denver, to wrap. Like 15-2?
I didn't get annoyed enough last night when they came through and beat San Francisco to look at their schedule, but now that's, and maybe for my own health, I'm glad I didn't, because it's making me more frustrated that they got by in that game yesterday.
The schedule kind of fell right for them. Remember how the Bills went to Cincinnati last year and lost, and it was right in the window where Burrow was healthy?
Mm-hmm.
They could have played him early, could have played Browning late, but no, you got the Bengals. The luck was you got the Bengals when Burrow was healthy and you got beat. And so that stuff happens. But they get Baltimore and Cincinnati, Kansas City, right away at home and win those games. Both super tough. Like, the Bengals should have won. There was a penalty at the end. The Bengals should have beaten the Chiefs like they've done before. So then you have Atlanta, the Chargers, the Saints, and now the Niners. I mean, so much of the hard part of their schedule is behind them. It's almost true of the Bills,
like
too.
The Bills, yeah.
But the Bills have that section with the Chiefs and San Francisco and Detroit.
And then Detroit.
Rams in there, too, if you want that.
Yeah.
And then they end kind of favorably. I don't know what to do with the Jets anymore. I just got to shut up. I mean, what am I going to say this time about them? They ended up getting run over.
Hey, they got Reddick back.
So?
That's all.
That's good.
It.
That's funny.
That's all you got.
I never cared about him.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a game to talk about. Last night,
yeah.
Like, is Pittsburgh? What did Pittsburgh do? I guess tomorrow at 3 we find out in the reverse AFC power rankings.
Right.
But I got to stop on them too.
I might want to ease off on Cincinnati's going to just pass them and all that. I mean, that was really impressive. Like, if you want to be impressed that the Bills beat the Jets, you got to be just as impressed, if not more impressed, that's what Wilson and the Steelers did to them last night.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a little like the Bills game yesterday. Like, not the Bills Jets game, but the Bills Titans game. Steelers, like, you know, that it's not their game, they're behind, but you know, they get the late touchdown in the first half, and then like the Jets just never scored again. What did the Bills do? The Bills held the Jets to a field goal, I think, in the second half. Yesterday they never scored at all against Pittsburgh.
The Jets missed two field goals, right? And they missed one last night, didn't they?
They got one blocked. I remember I saw a block. Yeah,
that's a problem.
Yeah.
Well, 5-2, and the sun is out. We'll look for your calls next at 803-0550. How impressed? What are you worried about? Anything along these sort of lines? We will talk to Eric Wood at 5 today. He wanted some more time to prepare.
That's what it was?
Okay. So he'll be on at 5 instead of the usual 4 o'clock. Sean McDermott is scheduled to speak at 4. If that happens and we want, we can carry that, I think. You want?
Sure, we can. Yeah,
it's a choice.
I'm here for that.
Okay. Again, the number 803-0550. It is Football Monday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog WGR.
Honestly, it's just trusting my feet and trusting my arm. That's one of the pros of having a stronger arm, if you will, where you got a guy that's open and, you know, on that little quick fade route I threw to him, he did such a good job of his release and he gained a lot of separation. I just kind of just trusted my eyes, trusted my arm, and just tried to throw it in there as firmly as I could, and made a heck of a play. So that's what it's going to take early on of getting to know him, just trusting, you know, if he's open, trusting where it's going to be. And, you know, as we keep going across the season, gaining more confidence in each other, and I could be able to kind of, you know, see those beforehand.
Josh Allen on Amari Cooper, who gets in the end zone in his Bills debut. Not the most auspicious start with that drop early, but shook it off and had a pretty good game. Didn't play a lot. It was under 20 snaps, right? 19, something like that? 19 snaps. But 19 snaps, you still got 5 targets,
four receptions,
4 for 66 and a touchdown, right? Coleman hit, almost had a touchdown himself, just barely missed on the side.
Oh, right, the one that ended up not counting. Yep, that was close.
Shakir, in his usual way, 7 for 7. I mean, some guys are 7 for 7 yards. This is 7 catches on 7 targets.
Right.
Never misses. 65 yards for him. Kincaid, 3 for 52, which I guess is good.
Shakir has one target that he hasn't caught this year. He's 27 for 28 on the year.
Shades of the 2023 preseason,
that is just
they're saying.
That is ridiculous is what that is. I mean, awesome for him. So, yeah, they got there, man. And I think Cooper, like, that's the thing that's encouraging. I don't want to overreact. It's 1 week. It's 1 game. But I feel like you can reasonably expect, I certainly think he's going to play a lot more than, what did you say it was, 19 snaps?
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll get up to, you know, the highest, maybe the highest snap percentage of receivers on the team eventually here. Maybe not as soon as this week in Seattle, but I think you'll get there. And so I think everything that trickles down from there, I mean, it does sort of topple the everybody eats concept and we don't need a number one guy notion, but that was always, yeah, I don't know, it was always easy to be skeptical about that concept working. How did you say it yesterday on postgame? You've said it before. That's how bad teams sound. Like, we don't need good players. Is ostensibly what they're saying. We don't need good receivers. We'll just have these guys and it'll be fine. They're all good enough. We don't need great receivers is really what it's more pointedly, I think, is what it's saying. And it turned out that, you know, they saw a couple of games with them really struggling in the passing game and figured out, like, you know, maybe we should do something about that. And they did. And I love the guy they picked up. And I just think maybe everybody can eat. Everybody ate yesterday. At least a number of guys ate.
Yeah, that would have to qualify.
So
no snarky,
right? But
new phrases for me.
It helps to have, you know, to have an entree that everyone is attracted to. Like, you can go get, you know, the lines are shorter at the other stations. If everybody's like, I gotta get the crab legs. You're over here going, hey, that man, there's really good sliders and other stuff over here. This is fine. So Cooper should be the number one guy moving forward, but I'm encouraged by what you saw from the rest of the receiver. I've loved Shakir since the summer on this team anyway, and I just think there's going to be more room for everybody with Cooper out there now.
I'm encouraged that you didn't say carving station. You can miss me with the carving station.
It was in the window, I'll tell you. It was just... Yeah, right.
All right, I'll take the slab of turkey.
Right.
Gravy, okay.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
It's so much better that you just cut it.
I would much prefer, like, the baked macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
They might have bacon in it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, you're going to crowd over to, like, oh, there's prime rib over there.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Well, look, don't sleep on the sides, people.
Yeah. The buffet, you know, the carving station. It's like, oh, fine, whatever. Slight exception for roast beef with horseradish. If they've got just like the, you know, the horseradish right there, that's fine. That's good. But really, you could do a lot better. Everybody eats. 803-0550, Football Monday. Yeah, I mean, we've had almost a week, not even yet, on Cooper. And I think you got two things. I think you got what you wanted it to look like from this game. He recovered, so to speak, from the early mistake and scored and was relevant in this game even without playing much. It is exciting to think what it could amount to if he plays a full-time role.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it goes like this, and he plays a full-time role, you're talking about elite wide receiver production, which really, it wasn't for me like 100% perfect, obvious, great fit for the Bills, but just using sort of not overthinking it. You always caution me not to overthink it. You're putting a bona fide, good to very good veteran receiver into a Josh Allen offense. Come on. Like that should be, that should go well. So I think you got that from this. The other thing I would say, though, is I mean, Tennessee's defense, statistically at least, was respectable. And for a half, they looked all you know, every bit of that in this game. And the Bills figured that out. So I don't want to treat it quite like the Jacksonville game, which was, this is a bad defense with injuries, including in-game injuries.
Right. That was a good defense with injuries.
Yeah, like it's not the Jacksonville one, but it's also not more than what it was, you know? So it's kind of middling. It's a kind of game like you had to win or else we are just losing our minds.
Yeah.
Even if they won a close, low-scoring game, we'd still be kind of losing our minds. And that didn't happen.
Yeah, I sure hope Cooper can play more than 19 snaps. I sure hope he has a positive impact on the offense eventually. You know, I sure hope it means good things for Keon Coleman and Kincaid and Shakir and everyone else. Instead, you got, like, you know, you got a game that really, despite his modest snap count, Cooper, I think, had an impact. And I just hope, I know we've been sort of around and around. Around and around implies that there's like been a fight about it, and really it hasn't. Like they have wanted to be more of a running team. You've been saying it since Brady took over last year. The numbers back that up through last year. This year starts, and what do you got? More of that. And, you know, it's not without merit. I don't want them to be bad at running the ball, and I don't want them to give up trying to run the ball and being effective at it. I think it helped them, maybe won them the Jet game with how they dominated up front. Doing that, like they went in with that mentality, and it carried them, I think.
Without Cook.
Right. So, you know, I'm not sneering at running the ball, but all year, the whole idea of the balance and complementary football and running the ball, you know what? It's a scene from a TV show has been going through my head where Joe Shane says, I'm not going to have a $40 million quarterback handing off to a $15 million running back. We've made our choice. We're paying this guy. We got to see if that can float or not. And if it can't, well, we'll sink.
Good for him.
But
it looks bad right now.
So right. He got benched yesterday for Drew Lock, and that didn't go well.
In a game where Barkley ran all over him.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So
low point.
The optics are tough for the Giants, but I feel like yesterday, maybe in the second half, and now maybe with Cooper, the Bills' hierarchy here, their brain thrust will realize, like we've got a guy that we got to trust him. He hasn't thrown an interception yet. We played 7 games.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And, yeah, he's had his share of ones that probably should have been picked in the Houston game, but there's not a wheelbarrow full of those here through this year. He's been on point and, I think, responsible, mostly. So hopefully, you know, when the matchup is right for it, they'll let that flow. And, like, they got to it yesterday, and now they've got one more guy to help them get that off. And to me, that's all the more reason you should trust him, Allen, to be able to you know, captain that ship for you and not, you know, be, you know, so worried about it. Like, a mistake is going to sink us or something.
So, if you don't mind, I want to share this. As you may know, Thursdays through the football season, we talked to Joe Ostrowski from BetQL Daily. We've been doing that for a few years now. Really enjoy that. Friday is his BetQL Daily co-host, Sammy Peniatovich, starting this year. And we talked to Joe Thursday. Mostly, I mentioned a couple Survivor picks and just different things. I know he and I talked off the air about the MVP stuff, because he can bet the MVP in Illinois, and I can't. And then Friday, Sam was on, and we definitely talked about that. He wanted to complain about Mahomes being the favorite.
Right.
He threw two more picks yesterday. Leads the league in interceptions with 8.
Mm-hmm.
But his team is undefeated. So I think it was Joe this morning tweeted me about the MVP, how the odds changed. And I didn't know how they had changed, because it's not something I can actively do anything about.
Right.
And I turned them on this morning. And I timed it luckily, like they were just getting into the MVP conversation. So Allen is up to 3rd after yesterday. It's Mahomes 1, Jackson 2, Allen 3. It's all pretty close. And Sammy went off on what a joke he thinks it is that Mahomes is the favorite.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he hasn't even been good. Nobody thinks he's the most valuable player in the league this year. Like, he hasn't even been good. So it's fun to listen to. And they're talking about Sam, if you follow him, you saw it maybe. He put a poll up he left the names off who each guy was just based on stats, and it's Goff, Mahomes, and Allen are the 3 choices. There's Allen, 15 total touchdowns, no picks. Although, if you're going to do total touchdowns, you should do turnovers and not just picks, but because he's fumbled a couple times.
Yeah.
Anyway, there it is, lays it all out. He's having a blast, you know, going off on Mahomes being favorite. And they're about ready to go to break. And Joe goes, hey, before we go, I actually made an MVP bet this weekend. And Sam and the producer didn't know who it was. And so the producer guessed Burrow, which I still like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the numbers are good. They're starting to win. And he's like, no, Jordan Love. And there was silence. And then Sam said, Shope got to you? I've never been prouder. I was proud and super excited to hear my name, but then also like, oh no, they might think I'm an expert at this. I'm terrible at this. I hope, because Joe, I asked Joe to place the bet, and he did, and I sent him money. If that's not a violation of state law or anything, I don't know if it is, but I did. And then he tailed it. It's like, oh, geez, I wasn't trying to talk you into it.
Yeah. All right.
But Love's odds came. They needed the field goal. Sam and I were chatting yesterday. Like, this is a big kick coming up. Like, Houston Green Bay came down to a last second field goal. Yeah. And Green Bay made it to win, which kind of buried Stroud a little bit. Stroud didn't even get to 100 yards. Zeros for Tank right. Dell.
Yeah.
And Love, just it's touchdown passes every week. So anyway, we'll see what happens there. But Allen had a great day for this. We'll see what happens with Jackson tonight. Mahomes, another just sort of dull stat line, but his team won, and therefore
he's
the favorite.
He's just hanging out there.
Just going to have to sit there, just like the Chiefs do in our reverse AFC power rankings until they lose a game. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, we'd love to hear from you, 803-0550 on yesterday, MVP, anything on your mind. Bills-wise, Eric Wood will be at 5 today, later than the usual for Eastern, but he is scheduled to appear with us later on. Lines are open. This is WGR. Football Monday, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Eric Wood now at 4 after all. Whatever he had in the way of a conflict is no longer in the way. So we'll talk to Eric at the usual time. Sorry for the runaround. 15 minutes or less.
I'm so inconvenienced.
Well, like, you know, you say you're going to do something.
You're talking to the audience, not me.
You say you're going to do something.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Getting connected with the fans brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Here is Dennis. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, guys. So, you know, I don't want to dump on them after a loss, especially after a blowout loss. So that's not my point in calling, but I just think it's important to point out some nuance within the offense where I just feel like Joe Brady seems to be really trying, and I don't know if this is a McDermott thing too, but just really trying to be a little more nuanced with, like, you know, running 12 personnel, 22 personnel, having Knox, Kincaid, and Hollins on the field, and we scheme whatever we're planning throughout the week. It's our game plan. And you know, there's been multiple weeks where in the first half it's not there. And then in the second half, we just open it up. We're in 10 personnel. We're in 11 personnel. And Josh is in the shotgun. And we are still running it. And it's perfectly fine. And we are just – then we just put the throttle down and we throw to – like Shakir four times in a row, and it's just like first down, first down, first down, first down. And we have all of our best players on the field. And that's who I think we should be.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you can't run the ball because, like, you know, with this commitment to run, I think that there's this idea that 22 personnel or 12 personnel is the only way to have a commitment to run. We run the ball fine out of 10 personnel. It's perfectly fine, or 11 personnel.
Mm-hmm.
We do great. But that's the best version of ourselves. I think we just get in our own way a little bit in the first half, trying to outthink ourselves or out-scheme ourselves and get certain guys on the field. And it's just not who we are. We're way better when Josh is like – and even if you really even think about, you know, some of the big plays that we do make out of those – usually.
Sorry, Dennis. We're losing you there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how that evolves now that Cooper is here. I think, you know, we can all pick and choose through their skill players and decide who we think should be on the field the most, right? Like, for me, Cooper, Shakir, Coleman, like, that's the group of receivers. I want those to be the first three receivers in. That has not been the case here. I mean, Cooper just got here, so we'll see how that evolves. And it's possible that they right now don't know who exactly they are. You know, I think they are trying to do a lot. And I think that can benefit you. They have hit big plays. This is where Dennis broke up there. I don't know if he was going to get to it, but the one Coleman touchdown in the Jacksonville game was out of the Alec Anderson was on the field. There were only two receivers in that pattern, and they crisscrossed, and Coleman sprung open, and they scored on it. So I think a part of wanting to give opponents that look specifically is you're predisposed as a defense to think, okay, well, here's the six offensive linemen. They're running it. But if I could throw it on you out of that, I the opportunity to hit, it's like throwing on third and short or fourth and short. You know, if you're all bunched up here thinking you're going to get the quarterback sneak or the tush push or the whatever, and I throw it over the top of you. I think the Eagles did this yesterday to the Giants at one point. A.J. Brown, I think, caught a long touchdown on a third or fourth and short, I don't remember which it was.
Love it.
You know, I think there's a lot of mixing and matching going on, and maybe there is, you know, too much happening there, and they haven't really found out what their best pitch is. I think that's basically the spirit of Dennis's point, and you might be onto something. But they're 5-2, and I think they can keep tinkering until, you know, hopefully they arrive at a conclusion, like what the best mix of personnel groupings is.
It's a good topic. You know what I'm going to tell you. I just think it's in McDermott's blood, and Brady is an extension of him, that if you're not able to run the ball, you're not for real. And this is just like so many football people, coaches through the years are like that. I'm not even sure McDermott would deny it. So I think the whole time it's what they've wanted to be. I think they've had some success with it this year too. Of course, last year they did as well. But I'm right with the caller. When they're getting to a point here, like yesterday, not every game has been like this, but they got to a point yesterday where, all right, no. And Allen was getting, it seemed like, I wonder what the timing was on this. In the second half, got the ball out so fast. Just, you know, slants, out passes, just get the ball out, and there was space there for the receivers. Those are almost like running plays, you know? They're almost like stretch running plays. And I'm here for it. I've been a broken record for 5 to 10 years, but I still think it's the only way I'm going to win. If it's not about Josh Allen, I think it's limited. I think you're looking at the second round again. But if it is, and nobody in the AFC consistently looks that superior, then I'm live. I'm as live as ever. Thanks, Dennis. Eric Wood next. Anderson, by the way, I wanted to add, 6 snaps is all yesterday, so they didn't
lean into that heavily.
Burden us with this heavy stuff, you know? That's just sort of my bias showing. Back with Eric Wood after sports. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.